You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
One of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, here every week, every Friday, 11 a.m., 11 to 12 for Hidden Places, talking, chatting, praying, reading the Word, trying to hear from the Lord, and just so thankful that God has given this platform to be able to do that. And just want to welcome Nanette Maldonado. Good morning.
Good morning.
And our brother Seen came back today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you awake? Are you awake?
I'm awake. Awake thou that sleepest.
Yeah, there you go. The night is far spent, right?
Day is at hand. Put right. on the armor of light.
That's right. So, yeah, and then Deanne, you know, last week she had to work. And then also again today, she told me she was trying to move her schedule around, but it just wasn't going to be possible for her to be in today. But she'll be back when she is able. Her job, you know, is a priority. And anyway, so we bless you, Deanne.
Yeah, if you're listening, we miss you.
That's right. Well, she'll be listening later because we'll send her the program. So I just want to make mention of a couple of things. And I had mentioned this on Wednesday Live when we were here, that I had taken a call a few days ago from a brother named Anthony, and he had called. He was looking for a song. So, you know, I found the song for him, and we were chit-chatting a little bit about that. And he said, I listen to your program every week. Now, you know, he said he loves it and, you know, really enjoys tuning in. And then he also, you know, made a wonderful comment about WCNO itself, the whole station, that, you know, he's been listening for quite some time. He enjoys the programming, the music. And he said it's the coolest thing, that all you have to do is pull up your chair, listen, and learn. And I just thought that was you know, a wonderful thing. And, you know, when you hear compliments, you know, they said a good compliment can last you a month. You know, that wasn't for me personally. It was for the station. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's something about being grateful for things. And when you express, you know, thanks or gratefulness for something, it really lifts you up. And then it also lifts up the hearer. So, you know, when you're able to encourage somebody, go ahead and do that. Don't hold it in. And especially in this climate we're living in today, where everybody's ready to pounce on you for one thing or another. So, all right, so enough of that.
I love your vocab, you know.
My vocab.
Pounce.
Pounce.
Look at you.
Pounce. Yeah.
Pounce on someone.
Oh, boy. Well, that's what lions do. They pounce. I saw a video the other day. They had, I guess there was a rhinoceros, maybe, that had been in rehab. Mm. So they were releasing him back out into the preserve or wherever they were. So, you know, you're looking at it from a drone. They had the camera on the drone. So they released the rhinoceros, and about 2 minutes later, here comes this lion out from nowhere. And started chasing him. And he wasn't even out of the the thing. They had him in the cage. You know, he wasn't even out of there 2 minutes. And here's that lion going after him. And, you know, getting on the back and, you know, biting him and stuff. But that bugger got away from him, and he ended up turning around and chasing that lion away. So talk about pouncing. Pounce on your enemy. There you go. So, you know, today, a couple of things today. Today is the 81st anniversary of D-Day. You know, for those of us familiar with the military happenings, you know, with our military history, that D-Day was the name given to the June 6, 1944 invasion of the beaches at Normandy in northern France by troops from the United States, Canada, the UK, and other countries during World War II. France at that time was occupied by the armies of Nazi Germany, and the amphibious assault, codenamed Operation Overlord, landed some 156,000 Allied soldiers on the beaches of Normandy by the end of the day. Despite their success, some 4,000 Allied troops were killed by German soldiers defending the beaches. At that time, the D-Day invasion was the largest naval, air, and land operation in history, and with each a few days, about 326,000 troops, more than 50,000 vehicles, and some 100,000 tons of equipment had landed. By August 1944, all of northern France had been liberated, and in spring of 1945, the Allies had defeated the Germans. And historians often refer to D-Day as the beginning of the end of World War II. I didn't realize that. It was just within 2 months they just obliterated the Nazis in France. And, you know, so every year the, you know, soldiers that have fought, you know, that had been there during that time go back to celebrate in the, you know, the town there. They always have a big welcoming celebration for anyone that had been part of that. And the French have been very gracious over the years, you know, for America bringing liberation to them. So we just thank all of those brave soldiers that were part of that, and those that are still alive, that, you know, they're dying off day by day. You know, those people from the World War II, World War I. And so we just thank them for their service and sacrifice. And then also today, I'm celebrating. It's so shocking, and I'm only talking about this because I realized it 2 days ago, that this is the 50th anniversary of when I joined the Navy. Oh, my word. 50 years ago, I joined the Navy, and it feels like it was just, you know, 2 years. And so I just began to think about, you know, how that all came about. And, you know, I've talked, you know, a little bit of snippets here and there about my time in the military. But let me just give you a little brief synopsis. So I was born and raised in Holliston, Massachusetts, a tiny little town located about 25 miles outside of Boston. And we lived 5 miles from where the Boston Marathon starts. So that was always a big part of our growing up, to go drive over there, park, sit on top of the car and watch all those runners, you know, back in the day. We've got 5 brothers and 1 sister. We grew up in a very secure and fun environment. My parents were 16 and 17 years old when they got married, and they had 7 of us. And needless to say that they were very eager for us to leave the house as soon as we turned 18. You know, my mom would always say, you know, as soon as you turn 18, bye-bye. You know, we did what we're supposed to do. Now you're on your own. So they did a great job, you know, even being that young. And, you know, we never went without anything. But in February of 1975, I was working as a nurse's aide at an elder care facility. and two of my coworkers, we worked the 3 to 11 shift. Two of my coworkers came bouncing in to work one afternoon, beaming from ear to ear. I can still clearly see the both of them. And I was like, they were just like smiling and they were literally bouncing and just jumping for joy. And they said, in unison, they both said, we're joining the Navy and we're going to be Navy nurses. And it was like something inside of me just sparked. And I was like, what? They said, we were just down at the recruiters, which was, you know, just one block away. We were down the recruiters and, you know, they like scooped us off the street and said, hey, come join the Navy. And of course, this was at the end of the Vietnam War. Mm. You know, they had already, they were just, you know, down to the very last bits of the war. And so recruiting was at an all-time low, and we know how bad the environment was back then for the military. So they said, yeah, we're going to be Navy nurses. You know, we signed up. And I was like, oh, my word. But as soon as they were saying that, I flashed back, had a flashback of when I was about five and a half years old, standing in front of the television watching the commercial about the newly founded Peace Corps. And a vision had been planted in me on that day. I wanted to be one of those people that was going to go to all those foreign countries, traveling to faraway places, experiencing different cultures, and being able to help people. That it was like that was the bottom line, was I want to help people, you know, because, you know, we had everything good. And even at 5 years old, I understood that, you know, we were very blessed in America. And so I always wanted to help people, and I wanted to be out there exploring the world. And so the next day, I went down to the Navy recruiter's office, and I was greeted by a Navy sailor who just happened to be one of my oldest brother's friends from high school. So he put his arm around me, and he said, oh, here's Jack's little sister. And then he began to walk me through the process to sign up for the Navy. And, you know, they sit down with you and they try to figure out what your skills are, what you want to do. And I really had no skills, you know, I think I was just ready to turn 20 at that time. But, you know, I wanted to be a nurse. I wanted to go into the nursing field. So it took me a couple of months because I had to do some CLEP test and some other things to qualify, because you have to have a certain criteria to enter. So anyway, on June 6th, 1975, my dad drove me to the back to the recruiter's office, where myself and several other ladies had also joined up. And we drove into Boston, and we were sworn in at the AFES station in Boston. And I remember that paneled room and trying to recite, you know, where you take the oath of office, you know, just like everybody else does. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't remember these words. What are they saying? But anyway, I knew that I was willing to protect and defend the Constitution, and then went to boot camp in Orlando. That was in the middle of summer. Imagine that. They had just opened up that beautiful facility, so everything was nice and clean. Nice new. And so from June to August of 75, I was in boot camp. And to me, it was the greatest thing ever. You know, we grew up, we had seven kids in the house. So it was just always noise and stuff everywhere. You know, my mom did the best job keeping the house clean. But when I went to boot camp, it was like so clean. Not that mom's house wasn't clean. But it was orderly, and that was the thing that really appealed to me, is that there was order in the barracks. And we were, I think that, you know, this huge room with all these bunks, just like you see in the movies, you know, the top rack and the bottom rack. I think we had 100-something people in that room. And the only thing you had was your two uniforms and your shoes, your little kit with your toothbrush, toothpaste, shampoo, very little. So it's like you didn't have to have anything. And it was great because you could then focus on what the task was at hand. And, you know, I loved boot camp breezed right through it. A lot of girls would, they were just dropping like flies because they couldn't handle taking directions. And, you know, some had medical issues and other things like that. But it was like, I just couldn't wait to see what was the next thing around the corner. I just thought boot camp was the greatest thing. But I do remember, and I wasn't saved back then. I did not know the Lord. But I remember on Sundays that the girls that went to church would come back in, and there they were bouncing in the room just like my coworkers were. And they were all lit up and beaming. But it was like I noticed them, but I never, it never connected. So, you know, it would be a couple more years before the Lord really got a hold of me. And anyway, so then I went to hospital corps school in Great Lakes, because I was going to be a hospital corpsman, and got up there, and it was party time, and ended up just partying the whole time I was there, and being out all hours of the night, trying to come in and go to school, just didn't work. So I dropped out of school because they were showing blood and guts and how to take care of sutures, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want to be doing that. So I dropped out of the school, and then they gave me orders to Antigua in the West Indies, which I thought was like Pakistan. I'm like, where is the West Indies? Anyway, beautiful Caribbean island. So I went there November of 1975, and it was a couple of years later that I was introduced to the Lord. You know, so after several years of partying and doing stuff that people ought not to be doing, and realized that I needed, like, I just wanted peace in my life. That's all I thought about, was having peace in my life. And so the Lord began to send people to witness to me. And so he drew me to himself with the scripture, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it was through that, you know, the Lord drew me to himself. And I got saved in October 14th, 1976. And then met and married my husband. He was a CB, so we got married there August 5th, 1978. And then from there just began a series of tours going to different islands and different duty stations. And I just look at my life, because as I'm typing up this list of all the places that we've been, you know, a lot of islands, which is quite okay with me. So we're in Antigua, the West Indies. Then I had an independent duty in Hawaii, on the island of Kauai, which was the Garden Island. That was a great place. In San Antonio, Texas, for a couple of years. Naval Air Station Bermuda. And then I was in Cecil Field in Jacksonville, Homestead Air Force Base in Homestead, you know, Miami Homestead. Mm-hmm. And then my last duty station was Naval Station in Guam. So we were there for about 6 years. And I retired in June of 1995. But I can't believe that it's 50 years from the date I signed up and took that oath to protect and defend our country, even though I had no idea what that meant. And, you know, felt like, well, I'm certainly not qualified to do that. But, you know, that through all the years in the military, you know, you're trained. You have basic military training. You have general training. You learn how to use, you know, different things, fire extinguishers, stuff like that. One of the trainings I had, I was assigned for the back of the fire truck. So if there was a fire in the base, I would jump on the back and hold on. And then when the truck stopped, I'd grab the hose and then wrap it around the hydrant and step on it until the truck pulled away. You know, who gets to do stuff like that? Unless you purposely go to be a fireman. But I learned how to drive dump trucks, tractors, backhoe, bulldozer, you know, all kinds of heavy equipment. Used to steam clean the engines. And the this was in Antigua. This was all in my first couple of years. But, you know, we had this big, big yellow pressure washer, and we called it Big Brutus. I think they called it, they had a name for it, Brutus, I think. And that thing was from like the 40s, you know, where they pressure cleaned stuff. So I would pressure clean the engines and do all kinds of stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's really fun. And then after a couple of years of that, they said, you know, you need to get a real job. And so I ended up going into military pay, and which was much more respectable, I guess. So I ended up being a dispersing clerk and learned all the ins and outs of that. And that's what I did for the rest of my time in the Navy. And so it was fun. But, the scripture that says to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil, right? That's been my scripture the whole time. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. And even, you know, as I look back on my life, you know, I didn't plan on doing any of the stuff that I did. But when the opportunity came up, I took it. I had a chance to go on an F-15 or F-16 when I was in Kauai. It, you know, one of the ladies that worked over in the admin office said, hey, you know, there's an F-16 over here from Pearl Harbor. You know, and they're taking people up for, you know, like a 2-minute ride or however long it took. And I said, well, I'll do it. And then I chickened out at the last minute. So that was really the only opportunity I was given that I didn't take, because I saw my friend who came back after doing it. She didn't look too, it kind of took a lot out of her. But anyway, take the most of every opportunity, because you don't know where the Lord's going to lead you. And I'm just really thankful for all the time that I had in the military. I didn't plan on making a career, didn't plan on anything that I did. I didn't have goals, you know, to, you know, of course I wanted to make chief petty officer would have been the, you know, the highlight of everything. But, you know, I just did what I did at the time I was there, and really enjoyed it. But 50 years, so it's been 30 years since I retired, which is even scarier in itself. So I guess what I'm saying is the clock doesn't wait for anybody. So you've got to take opportunities, whatever you have. And even no matter how old you are today, you know, even on the program, you know, a lot of times I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage those of us that are older. You know, maybe we're still waiting around for God to do something, or, you know, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And there's plenty of people that are around this day wondering, God, what do you have for me to do? And he's like ready to just put you in a place. He's positioning each one of us, getting us to the place where he wants us so that he can use us. Even though sometimes I feel like I haven't been used by the Lord, I have been all, you know, in different ways all this time. It's not like, okay, well, I'm called to the ministry and then I'm going to get a license and do what. No, it's not that. It's what you're doing with what he gave you. And are you being faithful to him in wherever you're at? So I just want to encourage those of you that think God's passed you by, and that he's not going to come around again. He's coming around again. And I believe he's coming around is that we're going to experience an awakening like nobody's business. You know, sometimes, well, I think in eras or eons, you know, we had the first great awakening, and then there was the second great awakening, you know, in the early 1900s, where God was moving powerfully. And we're coming up to that again. You know, the Lord's making his bride ready. And sometimes he just has to come in and do it himself. And that's, I think, where we're at. So, you know, if we're over here struggling around trying to make sense of anything, forget it. Just surrender to him and let him take you where he wants you to go. Hallelujah. But, anyway, so I didn't have any like real point to that, just to talk a little bit about what I did and celebrating my 50th anniversary of joining the Navy, which is the craziest thing. But I do want to read a scripture that my friend Jill brought to my attention yesterday. And, you know, maybe this will speak to your heart. And this is Job 22:21-30. And this is out of the Message Bible. It says here, give in to God, come to terms with him, and everything will turn out just fine. Let him tell you what to do. Take his words to heart. Come back to God Almighty, and he'll rebuild your life. Clean house of everything evil. Relax your grip on your money and abandon your gold-plated luxury. God Almighty will be your treasure. Mere wealth, or more wealth than you can imagine. You'll take delight in God, the Mighty One, and look to him joyfully and boldly. You'll pray to him and he'll listen. He'll help you to do what you've promised. You'll decide what you want and it will happen. Your life will be bathed in light. To those who feel low, you'll say, chin up, be brave, and God will save them. Yes, even the guilty will escape through God's grace in your life. Hallelujah. I just think that's a great promise from the Lord.
Amen. You know, it's interesting how our stories can really point to Jesus every time, you know? And I love how he does things. You know, I was paying attention to every word that you were saying, and you know, I recalled when you were five, you know, the fact that these two young ladies came, you know, at you, oh my goodness, we joined the Navy, we're right, gonna be Navy right. nurses. And how that very moment you felt something, right? And then that feeling put you like to like go backwards to a time when you were five. Mm-hmm. You know, it's these little like light bulb moments, these ways that God says, when I formed you in your mother's womb,
mm-hmm. right.
there was a plan in mind. And that plan was where you were supposed to go, what you were supposed to do, and what you were supposed to do it with, you know. And it's just beautiful how many of us really pay attention to that. How many of us, even at this moment where you feel like, oh, I'm this age, or, you know, I retired, there's really nothing else left, or there's not much for me to do, or, but how many of us really give ourselves the opportunity to sit back and say, Lord, what did you have in mind for me from the start? Like, what right. did you have in mind for me? What was your passion, your delight, your dream, your purpose, you know, that I was supposed to do? Is it too late? Can you remind me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just clear things up? And so, those signs of God. And so, you know, that, and then when you mention about the scripture, you know, come to terms with him.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that's the moment, our listeners, to just take that into consideration. Come to terms with him. Get to that place. Ask those necessary questions. Do that necessary meditating, you know, like in his word and what he truly had planned for your life, because mm-hmm. it's not too late.
Yeah.
It really isn't too late.
I just saw that, you know, that John Travolta meme. I don't know what that movie was, that weird movie where he had his hair slicked back. But they made the meme out of him standing there with his jacket over his arm. And it looked like maybe he was standing at the train station, you know, waiting for the train, looking like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but you know, I'm just looking around. You know, it's like, yeah, time to take stock of your yeah. life. Take stock. And, you know, because that's what it's saying here. Get rid of all the stuff that doesn't matter in your life. And
yes.
we've been talking about that mm-hmm. for the last year and a half. You know, draw near to the Lord himself. sit down with him. Don't sit with your friends, you know. Great. Go to Bible studies, great. Go to church, great. But sit down with the Lord yourself and really seek him and listen and let him direct you, as it says right here in that scripture. Let him lead you. I feel like that we're coming to that time, and if we don't do it now, then we're going to miss whatever things are, you know, the moves of God or whatever it is that he's doing in the earth. We want to be like in the military, you know, your spit shine in your shoes and your belt buckle and you're ironing your uniforms. It's like you're always preparing, and you've always got everything, you know, ironed up and hanging ready, you know, just laid out, just like firemen. You know, they're always prepared with their the equipment that they use. They know exactly where it is, and they have steps that they go through to get in that, so that they are prepared and do not waste a moment of time. And kind of feel like that's where the Lord's, you know, trying to raise us all up to, you know, be in that place where we're just ready at a moment's notice to.
Yeah, like that last scripture that you read in Job. Just repeat that last line that you said, the word of the Lord. When it was talking about, like, you know, like that last kind of.
Oh, just say, so you'll take delight in God, the mighty one, and look to him joyfully and boldly. You'll pray to him and he'll listen. He'll help you to do what you've promised. You'll decide what you want and when it will happen. And when it happens, your life will be bathed in light. To those who feel low, you'll say, chin up, be brave, and God will save them. Yes, even the guilty will escape. Escape through God's grace in your life.
Escape through God's grace in your life.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So you're.
What an opportunity.
Right.
What an invitation.
And I've had a couple opportunities this week, but, you know, just when you're, you know, you have the opportunities when you're right there, you're not even looking for, oh, God, use me today. A lot of times we do that, and then we try to plan out what God's going to do. But how about when people show up, you know, casual conversation or something, you know, you just run into somebody, some random person, and then, but the Lord arranged that, and then you are right there to offer what the Lord wants to tell that person. You didn't have time to plan it. You didn't have time to think about what scripture you were going to use or anything. It just was right there. And, you know, those opportunities. So we can plan all we want, but God's the one that fixes all those situations, or sets them up, I should say.
Just think how that grace empowers you to walk in the truth of training for reigning in the kingdom of God. If training for reigning in the kingdom of God is real, then it's the preparation of training that precedes, you know, the blessing of what it really means to reign in the kingdom. And think about the military training and how it parallels with your new life in Christ. Military training that parallels with your new life in Christ. And, you know, Karen, it's quite obvious that you've never forgotten your military training, and you've taken it with you throughout the course of your life as it's been I'd like to call it a tapestry, along with your functionality in Christ, as you've learned how to take a stand, you've learned how to occupy until he comes, you've learned how to occupy with a practice what you preach mentality, and, you know, your precept by example lifestyle is really shown through your practicalities, your procedures, and your adaptability for not backing down, but to expedite the will of God. That's military training. And expedite the will of God without public approval. So important for people to recognize whatever the training in their life is, especially when you're a believer, you know, your new life in Christ really represents how you are supposed to reign in life. And in the days in which we live, there's such a full-scale reinstatement for basic understanding to rediscover the real foundations of Christ's church.
Amen.
And as believers, we do have to look at ourselves as soldiers of the Lord. And we don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of how God is orchestrating it. We come as soldiers. And, you know, there's a time for people to receive what's known as transformational power to really cause us to live simply our new life in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. I'm glad we got that recorded. Wow.
Look, the training was not only necessary and important, but for enhancing what God has invested in our lives before the foundations of the world, mm-hmm. before we were even formed in our mother's womb, He knew us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came about, when we were enlisted, or we were recruited, or what's the word I'm looking for? Drafted.
Drafted, that's it, because that's how those what happened to those girls. They were just
right
pulled in.
That's right.
You know, but however you're taken in into the kingdom, it's just so important to know that there is a boot camp. There's a basic training for reigning, you know, where you undergo intensive, rigorous training. It includes physical fitness, military tactics, discipline, along with teamwork. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's great to have our own ideas, but also in the military, I was just reading some things, and I was reading about the ASVAB. It's the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery Test, and this assesses your qualifications, you know, for military roles. And, you know, it's just like in the kingdom of God, whatever your gift is, you know, whether you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, administrations, governments, wherever you fit in the body of Christ, you know, when you train to reign, there's an angelic host that is sent into your life to minister with you and for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's like the ASVAB, again, mm-hmm. the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery Test that assesses your qualification for these roles, wherever you fit as a person. But again, it's quite obvious you learn something from your military training, is really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything was formed by that. Because even as you're talking, I'm thinking back to in boot camp when we had to do the obstacle course. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's physical training, you've got classroom training, you've got all other kinds of training. But I remember I wasn't very athletic. I wasn't athletic in the least growing up. You know, never interested in any kind of sports or running or exerting any kind of energy. But but I remember the obstacle course, and I, you know, you just follow after the person in front of you goes, and then they do the first thing, and then they tell you, okay, it's your turn, you go. And I remember just standing there at the beginning of it, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I can do any of these things, because it was so foreign to me. And they were simple things like, you know, do a push-up, or, you know, jump over this log, or, you know, walk, take four steps on this log and don't fall off, and then climb over this thing. But I can just see it in my spirit right now. Like, I remember hearing, which I wasn't saved back then, but I remember hearing where the scripture says, you'll hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk in it, and do one thing at a time. And I that was like something early on that the Lord disciplined me with. Just do one thing. Just do. Don't think about what's happening down there. Just do this one thing. And, you know, so then I made it through the obstacle course. And then I also remember briefly thinking, oh, there's a world out there. You know, because you're in boot camp for 8 weeks and it feels like an eternity. But, I never wanted to leave. I enjoyed everything. But but I distinctly remember that with that obstacle course, you know, with the, having to exert physical energy. And, you know, it was hard at first, but then as you begin to exercise, then you would do that as a group. So that made it easier. So you were not the only one in the group doing 10 push-ups. You know, everybody did it together. Everybody ran together. Everybody did sit-ups together. And anyway, so yeah, it was, that's how I look at my life, is all this training. Yeah. And spiritually, it's the same thing.
And they met the requirements. You know, at the end, everyone was able to do the required sit-ups, the required push-ups, the
exactly.
required... And even in the process of that training, it didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, how is this going to make sense of what I'm going to do in the military?
Well, that, you know.
Just like mm-hmm. when the Lord is processing you and the Lord is training you, it's like sometimes when we're in it, we're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I don't understand why I have to go through this. Or I don't understand why I was kind of set back, you know, and I don't understand these things, or I don't understand why I'm experiencing this rejection over and over again. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people don't understand me. You know, all of these things, that's part of the training, and it makes sense in the end.
Right. And, you know, perfect example I have is, you know, the inspections. So they're going to do a locker inspection, and you're, you know, so you have to stand at the end of your bunk, stand at attention. And so the company commander comes, and then they're going to see if you've got your shoelaces. I mean, you had to put your shoes in. I don't even remember it now, but everything had to be tied a certain way. T-shirts had to be folded a certain way. Undergarments had to be, everything had to be folded a certain way, and it had to be in the locker in the exact place where they told you to put it. And for me, that was great because I grew up, our house, again, was too busy. There was no order. So boot camp for me was great because I'm like, okay, let me see how they're folding it. Oh, I can do that. And then I would just put everything in there. You only had a few items that were part of your life, so you didn't have a lot to think about. But the girl in the bunk next to me, so when the company commander got to her, and she ripped the girl's stuff out of the locker and just chucked it all on the floor, and the girl, she was just start crying, and so the company commander said, you know, did you follow any of the instructions? And the girl said, I just don't know why we have to fold it that way. You know, she literally, I will never forget that accent. I just don't know why we have to do it that way. And I'm standing there going, it's not really that hard, you know, but see, we're all different. We all process things differently, but anyway, she was out the next day.
Oh, wow.
You know, but there is a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason to fold something a certain way. And it's, even though you don't know what it is, you just do it that way. Mm-mm. So, you know, it's those little kind of disciplines that...
The discipline. Yeah. It's part of the reason that God comes to liberate you from your pains, your stains, and your chains. Mm. Because after you're liberated from those things through the training process, what happens is, this is so important, he elevates you so that you can handle the Goliaths that come into your life. It will not happen without the elevation process and the regeneration process that causes you to be able to not only understand, but apply what the supernatural resources are really for.
Hallelujah. Mm. Amen. Okay, I don't want to take a break, but we have to. We got to get these spots in. So we will be back in just a minute or two.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. All right, we're back. I just need to look at this thing real quick. Brother Tim had written me a little note and asked, foreseen and Nanette and Deanne would want a copy of a book that he has. And I'll give you the name of that. I'm just saying it because I don't know Tim's number. So, Tim, if you're listening. So, Nanette and Deanne already have copies of that book that you're referring to. But Scene would probably take one. So, just letting you know, since I don't have your phone number.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So, we are back. And, discipline. But I think all the, the years... So what about this? Here I was 20 years old and had to do military training. So I had to teach people how to, I don't know if it was a fire extinguisher. No, it wasn't a fire extinguisher. It was just some kind of general military training. That's what you had to do. Now, mind you, I would never talk to anybody except my friends growing up, really shy. And, even around relatives, I would talk to one person, but I would not talk to like three people at a time. So, very shy. So then they said, okay, you have to do a military training or a general military training. And I was like, oh my gosh, shaking in my boots. This was in Antigua. And so the people that were going to be in the training were everybody, the commanding officer, the lieutenant, all of the other the chiefs, the
ranks,
master chiefs,
all the ranks,
everybody. So here's this peon, given a training that was intimidating. I had to overcome that. And I had to make a choice. Am I going to do it? Am I going to read the material? Am I going to get an understanding of the material? And then am I going to have the nerve to stand there and give training to people that probably already knew what it was about or how to do it, but I didn't know. But I had to read the material and learn and then present that training. And then, as years went by, it was like you were given more responsibility, more training, more
that's good,
different things. So, but then, by the time I got ready to retire in Guam, I was given training to, 300-400 people in the room. And it was like, who would think that I would ever do that? It was the craziest thing. But, God has his purposes for doing stuff. Because I had people when I was in Bermuda, Naval Air Station Bermuda, they had the Armed Forces Radio Television Network. So they would, they're always looking for news stories and stuff. And because we worked in pay, the people are always interested in what are the new pay raises coming or whatever. So the lieutenant that was in charge was the one that always, would be on the news and stuff. So they do like, a little 5-minute clip and then you'd see it on the news that night. So she passed it on to my senior chief and he was like, no way, I'm not getting on TV. I'm not, doing that interview. So he passed it on to me. So then here I have to do a live TV thingy, and it's like, who? I was like, God, what is this about? It was the craziest thing, but take the most of every opportunity. And then, so they, but what they did was they came to the office and they would say, okay, you know, what's going on with the payroll? And so then I would say what was new, because I knew my job, so it was easy. And then I would go with them down to their station, the TV station, and then watch them edit, you know, to see how they cut it down, you know, just have like a little 2-minute news piece or something. So I thought, well, that's okay, I can do that. And then a little bit later, they said, no, we need you to do a live TV show, you know, and answer call-in questions. I was like, oh, my word. But see how God, I never planned any of that in my life, but God did. So make the most of every opportunity. Whatever opportunity you have, take it, because it's going to lead you somewhere else. And these guys are just cracking up. Go ahead.
Look at Nanette and her husband. I don't think they really planned on moving like they're moving and moving into what they're moving. Amen. But it's like God's bags are packed and he's moving and they're moving with him, because it's just supernatural, you know what he wants to do. And I just wanted to add, when you were saying that, Karen, that I was watching the Chosen. I just love the Chosen. There's hopefully that you guys have been watching it also. But, you know, the Lord is just sitting and he's talking to his 12 apostles, and he says, you know, I've called the 12 of you, you know, and you're going to go out two by two, and I don't want you to take anything with you. Just, he said, just go. And they all look at him and they're like, what do you mean, just go? I mean, and they're asking, you know, are we really qualified for this? No, just go, he says, you know, and what's going to happen? And, you know, they're asking all these questions. And after they'd been with him, you know, you'd almost think that, you know, that they would accept some kind of qualification that comes from him. But here's what we have to know. When God activates you, he commissions you to obey and move forward in his cause.
Amen. Amen. Boy, Nanette, you're taking a while to say anything today. Well, because I'm doing all the talking.
I know, and I love it. I love it. I mean, even in my quiet, I'm receiving, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a recipient more today than anything else. And I pray that those who are listening, that they truly just take in every word. Sometimes it might not. Listen, it doesn't have to be biblical to be biblical. It doesn't have to necessarily come out like exactly from the Word of God. And hear me, I'm a lover of the Word. But he's speaking. He's speaking. And so I really don't have much to say, because I'm really receiving. I'm really hearing the Word of the Lord. Through Karen's testimonies, through Karen's life and how he worked in it. It's just so fascinating. I love to hear your stories. And please email us, you know, contact, share your stories with us. I know that there's people out there who have similar stories, to highlight how God was moving, how God picked you up again and wiped you clean and say, let's start over. Let's get to the original plan. Like Sean was saying, from the heavenly places before he even spoke and made everything here on earth for us. We were with him. He was thinking of us. He already had purpose in us. And all we had to do is come down from heaven into this realm and walk it out. It's just, I don't know, it's just fascinating to me. It's just a wondrous day today. Just the fact that it's, you know, that we're celebrating, not celebrating, but we're acknowledging D-Day. I mean, 1944, I was trying to look at my notes and I was saying, wow, I remember there was one night, and this was a few months back. I don't have the date in front of me, but literally I kept hearing the voice of the Lord saying 1944, 1944, 1944, 1945. I mean, over and over and over again. And you just shocked me that today is like in remembrance of that. And so I know that's significant. So I have to go back to my notes and really pray about that. But It makes sense too. Then your life, you know, that D-Day. Think about D-Day. Mm-hmm. This dream I had, you know, last night, emphasizing on the 11th hour. You know, everything that you're saying, these moments that we have to walk into, these moments that God is saying, come here. Mm-hmm. Make a right turn, make a left turn, mm-hmm. or keep going. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. It's really crucial in this moment. Really crucial. And that's what makes him so good.
Amen.
That's what makes him so good.
Yeah, you know, the Lord is not wasteful with things.
No, nothing.
And I learned that in the military, that everything has a place and everything's in its place. And when everything is in its place, then you're able to operate within those parameters. And you're free within the parameters that are cut out for you. That's what I liked about boot camp so much, because it was orderly. A lot of people couldn't stand it. They didn't like the discipline. They didn't like having to get up at, well, I didn't like the 5:30, whatever it was, how early we got up. The early thing was not the only thing I wasn't fond of, but I'm still that way. but I liked the order of everything, because you knew what you're going to be doing. And then you were free. Mm. You're just free in all the rest of the time. It's hard to explain, but it's like in the Lord, once you know that you belong to him and that he's with you and he's not going to let you go, then you can walk in the freedom that he died to give you.
Yeah. And order is necessary. His order.
Yeah.
His way of doing things is necessary. Just like that young lady, you know, when she says she questioned the commander and said, why do we have to do things this way? I don't know. Yeah. You know, I don't think this is a time for that.
No, this is
I think this is a time to do it the way God is saying. We have this opportunity of rebuilding.
Yes.
Can we?
Like a do-over. Almost.
Can we do it the way he is saying?
Yeah, exactly. Do-over. I think it's a do-over. If you just stop and, you know, just take a look at your life. You know, what went sideways? You know, what went the wrong way? What went backwards? Just
remember the do-over of God's empowerment is always from the inside out.
Amen. Amen. That is exactly right. So we just have maybe about 45 seconds or so. So, wise words from Scene.
There are so many people that live with a sense of, you know, condemnation, and they don't have to live with that condemnation. And remember, it really is God who liberates you from your pains, your stains, and your chains, so that he can elevate you, so that the process of his regeneration really takes place, because so many are missing out. But Romans chapter 8 says, the spirit of the law of